I'm going to walk through a couple of constitutional questions here that need to be talked about before we can talk about anything else. A couple of constitutional points. Mr. Church, you're going to do the Constitution? Yes, I know that's shocking. Even though I'm accused of not doing it anymore. Happy to do it. Wow, look, a nice crowd in the chat room. Jeff, O. Jeff, Josh, Will, Kirk, Mark, T. Connolly, Will. Welcome, dudes. Statement number one, constitutionality. Article 2 of the Constitution makes a president. This is only going to take a couple minutes. It's not going to be a big dissertation. Just a couple of simple facts. Article 2 of the U.S. Constitution creates the office of the president, or the executive, as the Constitution officially calls it. That's one. Why is there a executive? Well, there's three branches. We all noticed. We learned this in kindergarten. Legislative, executive, decisional. Note the language in Article 1, Article 2, Section 1. The executive power shall be vested in a president of the United States of America. He shall hold his office during the term of 4 years, and together with the vice president chosen for the same term, be elected as follows. And they give the manner of elections, which has been changed by amendment, three times? Congress may determine from time to time, choosing a blah, 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 blah. Okay, Section 2, the president shall be commander-in-chief of the Army of the United States, when called into the actual service, blah, blah, blah. Shall have the power by and with the advice and consent of the Senate to make treaties, by and with the advice and consent of the Senate, shall appoint ambassadors, other public ministers and consuls, judges of the Supreme Court, and all other officers of the United States whose appointments are not herein otherwise provided for. Okay. So we don't need any other information right there. Article 2, Section 2. Again, he shall have power, and by and with the advice and consent of the Senate, by and with, shall appoint ambassadors, other public ministers and consuls, judges of the Supreme Court, and all other officers of the United States whose appointments are not herein otherwise provided for, and which shall be established by law. But the Congress may by law vest the appointment of such inferior officers as they think proper in the president alone, in the courts of law, or in the heads of departments. We don't need anything else right there. Article 2, Section 2. What do we just learn? What's the FBI? It's a department. Who gets to appoint the head of the FBI? The president. What business is it of the Senate? Well, they can advise and consent with the advice and consent of the Senate. There's nothing in there about these stinking confirmation hearings. As a matter of fact, as Professor Gutzman points out, there weren't confirmation hearings all the way up until the 20th century. President appointed someone. He notified the Senate that he was going to appoint them, and that was pretty much the end of it. If a senator had an objection, he probably would have taken it up privately with the president. Presidential appointments are as a permanent part of the federal monstrosity is any other part of it. Now, why am I going through this? Folks, this is just simple boilerplate U.S. government 101. By the way, did you know that I own the website AmericanHistory101.org? Someday, somebody's going to approach me and say, Mike, I can make an education emporium out of that site, a history emporium out of that site, using some of your stuff, aided and abetted with mine or ours. We'll make a fortune. Anyways, what do we learn in the early moments of the program? Here, I'll give you some Madisonian reasoning here, although it could be Thomistic or Aristotelian reasoning. If one is granted the power to appoint, Let's change the point into 20th century or 21st century American parlance. Hire. Hire. Right? If one is granted or has the power to hire, concurrent with the power to hire is the power to do what? Class. 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 Stop. Concurrent with the power to hire is what? Power to fire. End of discussion. Full stop. No need to go any further. So it doesn't matter why the president wanted to fire James Comey. This is a media circus that has no purpose other than let's make some Trump news. Better charge Plaid. What if he did it for to cover the CYA, Mitterter? What if he did? So, how are you going to prove that? Again, it's not even worth debating. Although, if you listen to the protestations of the Democrats, this is Nixonian. Now, if you're a millennial or younger, you don't even know what Nixonian means. Yet it's become a term of urban legend, but no one knows what it means. I guess it means that you did something that you shouldn't have done because you're the president, and now you're a criminal, and you're not really the president. We're going to get you because you are a criminal. You're only kind of temporarily the president, and everything you do is suspect because you're a criminal. Is that what that means? This is from the other headline here. It's from the American Spectator website, posted by the one and only Jeffrey Lord. By the by, those of you that are listeners brought over from the old station in the old country, from the Sirius XM Patriot channel, of which I was the founder, first show on the Patriot Channel, before it was even the Patriot Channel, and thus the longest running, no one can ever break this string, folks. Cannot be broken. Longest running radio talk show in the history of Sirius satellite radio. That can't be broken. I remain longest running radio talk show host in the history of Sirius XM satellite radio. Until the latter part of 2019, provided that Mitter Wilkow is still there. Jeffrey Lord was a promoter of Trump during the campaign. He was on CNN almost every day. This is from the early days of the campaign. Democrats get their wish. Trump fires Comey. Democrats were adamant. They wanted FBI Director James Comey out, period. You get Schumer? Let me give you Schumer from October 2016 before you give me Schumer yesterday. Senate Democrat Whip Chuck Schumer, November 2016, headline in the Hill newspaper, I've lost confidence in FBI director. Senator Charles Schumer is joining a growing chorus of criticism over FBI Director James Comey's decision to alert lawmakers to new emails potentially linked to the Bureau's investigation into Hillary Clinton's private server. Schumer, who was poised to be Senate's top Democrat in 2017, told Bloomberg on Wednesday, I do not have confidence in him any longer. CBS News, January 2017. Democrats stormed out of a briefing on Russian hacking, furious with one of the briefers, James Comey. Representative Maxine Waters, the Marxist. California, the FBI director has no credibility. Hank Johnson, Georgia, the guy that thinks that the island of Guam, if you put too many people on one end, is going to tip over. My confidence in the FBI director's ability to lead his agency has been shaken. Harry Reid, this is September 2016. Harry Reid, Comey should resign. In the wake of a soul-crushing report on Russia's meddling in the presidential election, Senator Harry Reid has called for FBI Director James Comey to resign for allegedly withholding information on President-elect Donald Trump's ties to Russia. Reid, who was a fierce opponent of Comey's handling of Hillary Clinton's email scandal, which many believe cost her an election, told MSNBC on Saturday that he believes the FBI knew all along that Russia was helping Trump and did nothing about it. Reid said, quote, "This is not fake news. Intelligence officials are hiding connections to the Russian government. There is no question. Comey knew and deliberately kept his info secret." Congressman Steve Cohen, Democrat of Tennessee, November 2016. "For the sake of the FBI, James Comey should resign. As a nearly 10-year," he wrote this in the Hill, "as a nearly 10-year veteran of the House Judiciary Committee, the committee responsible for oversight of the Federal Bureau of Investigation and Department of Injustice, and ranking member of the House Judiciary Subcommittee on the Constitution and Civil Justice, earlier this week, I called on FBI Director James Comey to resign his position after his recent communication with members of Congress regarding the Bureau's review of emails potentially related to Hillary Clinton's personal email server." And then Jeffrey Lord writes, let's stop here on this busy night. But before we do, let's go back to the ever-dependable Maxine Waters. Here's a link to her official congressional website. And here's a headline from a little over a month and a half ago on March the 21st. Representative Maxine Waters, FBI Director Comey advanced Russia's misinformation campaign. And then don't forget this from the Wall Street Journal, January 2017. James Comey's best service. The new AG should ask the director to resign for the good of the FBI. Mitter Comey has a long history of apparently political decisions, a point we underscored when President Obama nominated him. Blah, 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 blah. Liberals don't mind these prosecutorial excesses because they didn't like Comey's targets. Only when he turned on one of their own did they figure out, too late, the way the FBI director operates. In other words, and Lord sums this up, to sum up, Democrats from Harry Reid to Chuck Schumer and all through the rest wanted Comey out, gone, see ya, sayonara, bye-bye. Resigned, if not tarred and feathered. Tonight they got their wish from a president who rightly concluded the FBI director had lost the confidence of both Republicans and Democrats and the media. The Democratic response, it's Watergate. And Lord concludes correctly. You want to know why Americans are cynical about politics? This is why.